to throw the ball. Sets up, looks, throws toward the corner of the end zone, and it's intercepted! Intercepted! They knocked down the ball! Head of the 35, the 40, Kenny Wayne's going to score!
Thomas already got a crease. There he goes, and there he goes. He's off. 94 yards on the opening play. Touchdown.
Play fake, Harris goes hard right down the field for the home run. Got Parker. He's in a foot race. They won't catch him. Touchdown, Duck.
Welcome to the Duck Pod. I'm Ryan Thorburn, joined by Austin Meek. Austin, it is late July or getting into late July. I'm back from vacation and Pac-12 media days are right around the corner. So today we submitted our ballot for the preseason poll and I thought that might make a good podcast for late July.
Welcome back to the podcast studio. We missed you. We kept your microphone warm. Glad you made it back.
Yeah, we went to Yellowstone National Park and the Black Hills. We saw a black bear, grizzly bear, mountain sheep.
Awesome. Go Grizz.
Elk, everything, even some ducks. So it was quite a trip, and I'm glad to be back after a 14-hour and 40-minute drive home from Jackson Hole. So,
well, it gave you a lot of time to think about your Pac-12 preseason ballot. So
it
you
did
got at the top there,
and that was what I was thinking about in Burns on that stretch there where you're going insane. So, I guess what we could do is just each reveal ours either line by line and just kind of discuss why each team is where they are. I think I'm guessing there were two for sure locks on this thing for everyone. Not to be cruel, but to Oregon fans, I think one lock would be Washington as the Pac-12 favorite, and their other rival, Oregon State, is the basement dweller. But let's just start with the North then. Do you have Washington number one? Because I did.
Yes, I have Washington number one, and I agree with you. I will be surprised if Washington is not the nearly unanimous pick in the North, and I'll be surprised if Oregon State is not the unanimous last place team. I would think that they would get every sixth place vote. Nothing against Jonathan Smith. He may be a good coach there, but I think the Beavers are clearly number six in the North.
Yeah, and I had Oregon State sixth as well. So you have Washington one, Oregon State six. If there's any hope for the Beavers, it's that, you know, I think we all thought when Chris Peterson was hired from Boise State, once he got things rolling at Washington, they would be at this level. And Jonathan Smith obviously comes from Washington and working with Chris Peterson. So maybe he can replicate a little bit of this. But as of now, Washington head and shoulders above everyone, in my opinion, and Oregon State with a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah. Okay. Who you got at two then?
At number two, I have, drum roll, the Oregon Ducks. I think it's going to be very close between Oregon and Stanford for number two in the North. And this being an even year, Stanford plays at Autzen Stadium. In fact, that's the Pac-12 opener for the Ducks. So I am kind of projecting that they have the same Pac-12 record, but I think Oregon wins that game and the tiebreaker.
You know, that's I went back and forth on those two teams, and I have Stanford 2, Oregon 3, but I think you could easily reverse the order. Talking about this with Steve on the podcast earlier in the week, I do think Oregon is a lot closer to Stanford than to being number 4. I think it's a pretty clear top 3, bottom 3 in the North, and I do think Oregon and Stanford could be switched around, but I'm going to give a little bit of edge to Stanford just because of the Bryce Love factor, and because I do think there's enough uncertainty with Mario Cristobal that I could see Oregon being a sleeper team, maybe a challenger for Washington in the North, but I'm just not quite ready to go there until I see a little more from Mario Cristobal.
If Stanford can beat San Diego State, which they didn't do last year, and also an early season matchup with USC, that could really draw some eyes to Eugene, that game. Obviously, Oregon has an easy non-conference schedule leading up to that, but you got to figure Justin Herbert Bryce Love. The winner of that game is going to be on people's short list for the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, for sure. Well, are we in agreement then that 4 and 5 are Cal and Washington State? I think both of us are kind of on the same page about this potentially being a really down year for Washington State.
Yes, I actually have Cal at 4. I like Justin Wilcox and I like his staff, and they were competitive last year. This year, I think they remain that way and actually get to 6 wins in a bowl game. Washington State, you know, I mean, Mike Leach, I think, thought he was going to be the last man out and would shut the lights off, and he didn't get out. So unless he has, you know, some prospects looming that we're not sure about, unless he's one of the better developmental coaches in the country, which he's done a great job at, I just don't see them competing this year at all in the North.
Yeah, me neither. I think that team is really headed for a sharp drop off. Okay, so
did you have Cal 4?
Yeah, I had Cal 4. Okay. Cal 4.
Washington State 5. So yeah, we're in agreement there. Yeah. The only disagreement there is that Oregon Stanford flip-flop, yeah, and that will be determined in September, so that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. So in the South, I think the South is totally wide open. I stared at my ballot for a long time in the South, and yeah, I had teams that I, you know, thinking about putting number one that I ended up putting 3, 4. You know, I think that it's really all over the place. But so who do you have in the South, number one?
In that spirit, that wide open competition you're referring to, I am going to go with Utah. All Kyle right. Whittingham has the most consistent program in the South, and he's the only guy that hasn't won the South, or the only program that hasn't won the South. Colorado won it a couple of years ago. So I think feels like this is the year for the Utes. They host both Arizona and USC in Salt Lake City. Those are two teams that, you know, I think are also in play here. The only caveat to Utah is their North crossovers. They play the big boys and don't get a break there, but I think they will win the South games that matter, and will win the tiebreaker there.
Yeah, I thought about Utah at number one, and I ended up putting them number two for what you just said. They have to play Washington, Stanford, and Oregon out of the North, the top three teams. I think it's hard to do that and come out of the South as the winner, even though I'm not totally sold on USC at all. I put him number one, and I think USC will be, I'm guessing when the ballots come out, when they show the first place votes, it'll look like USC is a big favorite in the South, because I think they'll get the lion's share of the number one votes, but I actually don't think they're a big favorite. I just think there's a little bit of USC's kind of the default team that you pick if there's not another team that you really like. They are going to potentially start a true freshman quarterback. It's hard to put a ton of faith in a team that potentially could be lining up there with a guy who was in high school last fall. But I think the rationale for USC is just that they've got enough talent around the quarterback that even if they go through some growing pains there, in a year when there's not really another definitive team that you'd pick ahead of them, then maybe that's enough.
Yeah, I went USC number three, actually. I know they're loaded with talent, but this true freshman quarterback that everyone's talking about actually graduated from high school early to join USC, and his schedule includes early on road games at Stanford, at Texas, at Arizona. So I actually think they're going to lose some of those games, and I have Arizona number two with Khalil Tate.
Yeah. I had Arizona 3, and to me, Arizona and Oregon are just kind of mirror images. You know, they have a new coach. They have a star quarterback coming back. It's a team that you feel like if things break right, they could contend for the division. But it's just also a team that's got a few too many question marks for me to give them the benefit of the doubt like that. One thing that stuck with me was I remember talking to Greg Hansen on our podcast last year from the Arizona Daily Star, and he brought up the fact, like, does Arizona have any all-conference players on its team at the time outside of Khalil Tate? That was when Khalil Tate was really on a tear, but he was just saying, you look at the rest of this team, and they just don't have a ton of Pac-12, you know, upper tier Pac-12 players. So for that reason, I'm gonna stay kind of in the middle on Arizona as a team that I think could make some noise, but I'm not quite ready to go there with them.
So we each have, in some order, Utah, Arizona, USC as the top half of the South, and really the three contenders I see down there. Who do you have at number four? I have the Colorado Buffaloes.
All right. Well, I've got Arizona State at number four, and I've seen Arizona State at the bottom of a lot of ballots. And I think there's some much-deserved skepticism about what kind of coach Herm Edwards is going to be at the college level. But I guess I'm going to be the contrarian a little bit and say, with Manny Wilkins and that receiving core, which really kind of ate Oregon alive last year in that game, I think Arizona State has some pieces to actually be competitive in the Pac-12 if, and it's a significant if, but if Herm Edwards knows what he's doing there, I think they could be competitive with some people at least.
Well, I definitely am looking forward to seeing Herm Edwards at Media Day next week in Los Angeles. He definitely is a guy the media is rooting for. He's very good with the media. He likes to talk, and it's a curious hire, but it might be so crazy that it just works.
I'll give you $10 if you ask Herm on the podium. Herm, can you tell me why you play the game?
Well, yeah, I mean that is why they play the game, to win.
To win the game.
I do not have them winning many games. I have them sixth.
All right.
I want to see this experiment play out before I anoint Herm Edwards, who I think he last coached in college in the 70s. Is that correct?
I believe you're correct, yeah.
You know, he just seems like an NFL person to me, an NFL personality more specifically. Mm. I don't see it, but it's interesting the approach they're taking with kind of having a CEO of football and treating it as a professional organization in some respects. So I have Colorado fourth because I like Steven Montez. Maybe that's skewed by what he did to the Ducks a couple years ago when Colorado won the South. Obviously, they lost Jim Leavitt last year. I think they have talent there. I want to just see if Mike McIntyre, a year without Leavitt, can now bounce back and show that wasn't a fluke in 2016. If he doesn't, he's been at Colorado a while. The natives might start to get restless there. They do have good tradition. They're just dying to win, and Boulder is a great place. So I think it's a big year for McIntyre. I have him fourth. They need to go to a bowl game, win 7-8 games. I have UCLA fifth. I believe their head coach is named Chip Kelly.
I've heard of him.
I think he's had some success in the North Division of this league with some better players, but I have them fifth. I think the Bruins are a couple years away from being the talk of even at Los Angeles.
Yeah. Well, the Chip Kelly fans are not going to enjoy this show because I've actually got I've got UCLA sixth. I don't know. Yeah, it's not that I'm nursing a grudge against Chip Kelly or I think he's a bad coach. I just think that's going to be a weird transition there. They lose Josh Rosen. The Jim Mora era there was just weird, and it's a totally different personality coming in there with Chip Kelly, totally different system. I see that being kind of a rocky transition. And if I'm wrong, it's because Chip Kelly just needed to get back to college. This is where he belongs. It's because he learned something in the NFL. He's evolved a little bit, and he's going to come back and do what he did at Oregon again. I don't see it right away. I don't think he's walking into the same situation that he walked into at Oregon. I think it's going to take him a little time to get his kind of players in there. So I got UCLA at six. I don't know if they're going to be there. I think any of those teams in the bottom of the South, I wouldn't be stunned if any of them, catch lightning in a bottle a little bit and finish higher than we think. Finish in the top two or three. But somebody's got to be sixth, so I said UCLA.
The beauty of these polls, of course, is that the media never gets it right or typically doesn't give it right. So that's great news for Chip Kelly. I mean, you look at this and you think about, Mora had some pretty good recruiting classes as far as the rankings go. Chip Kelly is one with quarterbacks no one had heard of before they played in his offense. So when I look at this, I have UCLA fifth in the South, you have them sixth. That could be the major thing in January, you're like, wow,
yeah,
we had
were we
that
thinking?
Way
yeah.
wrong, and, yeah. and they win the South or something. But from the outside looking in, it just seems like they have a lot of work to do there.
Yeah. So who you got? Who you got in the Pac-12 title game, winning the thing?
I have Chris Peterson and the Huskies over the running Utes and Kyle Whittingham, and I don't think that's a coincidence. I think both those guys are tremendous coaches, probably in the top 10 in the country, in my view.
Yeah, I got Washington winning the Pac-12, and I've got Washington as a pretty strong candidate for the college football playoff. The Pac-12 needs to get a team in there this year after getting snubbed. It's an important year for the Pac-12. You know, Washington's got that game against Auburn to kick off the season, and if they win that, I think they're in a good position that they can make a run to the playoff, because I don't think there's another team in the Pac-12 that is as complete as Washington is.
Yeah, that's an interesting. I just thought of this now when you mentioned that. You know, Washington plays Auburn. They beat Auburn. They're off to the races. I don't see them losing more than one Pac-12 game. But it's interesting. Doesn't Oregon play Auburn to open next season?
I believe that's right. Is it next year? Yeah.
So a year from now, if Justin Herbert were to return as a senior quarterback like Jake Browning, and Mario's able to add, you know, another layer of talent with recruiting, Maybe Oregon could be Washington in 2019. But right now, I have Washington definitely as Larry Scott's best hope.
Yeah. Or maybe Auburn foils the Pac-12's chances of a playoff team 2 years in a row.
Well, I'm sure that's what their fans believe should happen, so It'll be interesting. So anyway, Austin, we're getting close. Next Wednesday is Pac-12 Media Day in Los Angeles, and we'll have a lot of content moving forward, a lot of football content, and that's always Christmas in July, so let's do it.
All right. Thanks for checking out the podcast, everybody. We'll be back next week.